Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. I would really love to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. I mean, we're well over 700,000 listeners, and it just keeps growing, and it's all because of you. Now, today, we have a wonderful topic with wonderful guests. We have Sydney and Sandra here. They're finance experts to explain how financial instability could destroy relationships and what to do about it. I'm also going to discuss many of the scams that are costing people billions of dollars right now. But let's first introduce you to Sandra and Sydney. Sandra and Cindy Curry, they're the founders of BC Holdings in Tennessee. They create financial wellness programs, services for companies, college, universities, training organizations, government entities, and nonprofit organizations. Sydney's a successful entrepreneur of his own, certified financial instructor. He's an authority on personal finance arena and has been a personal finance educator for over 20 years. Sandra, on the other hand, she took the corporate route. Spent 2 years in the financial service industries in banking, lending, financial services, or financial advice. She's a columnist for MBE Magazine, which is an entrepreneur magazine. She's also a financial computer for local and national publications. Sandra, Sydney, welcome to the show. We're just grateful you're here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes,
happy to be here. Happy to be here.
You look wonderful today. You're out there in Tennessee. Our discussion today is about financial instability, how it could destroy relationships, what the issues are, the toll that it takes, impact on society. You're going to give us some tips for wealth building. Most importantly, the conversations that should take place before somebody gets married. And I'm going to say this. I've done a lot of commentary for local and national news on financial infidelity or instability. It's almost the same thing. And I think this is a wonderful talk. In fact, our viewers have just popped in and say, what about this? What about that? So I might be asking you some of their questions. What I'd really like to know is, what got you started in the finance industry first?
That's a good question. So I'm going to turn to my boss. So those that are in your audience that are married or not, or engaged or not, or thinking of going that path, someone told me the other day, happy spouse, happy house, happy husband. Happy life. You heard that one?
No, we haven't heard that.
Well, before we get going, I want to congratulate you on providing the appropriate title, boss.
That's it. So I want to turn this over to her first and how we got started, because this was an amazing vision that she came up with. And then we decided we would pursue it together.
That's wonderful.
Yes. As you said, you know, I started, or my background is in the financial industry, banking in particular. And one of my positions in banking before we left to open BC Holdings was a private, I was in the private banking department as a senior lending officer. So I worked with the affluent or the wealthy. And it really surprised me how much they did not know about money, because you assume if someone is doing well in their practice, in their career, oh, they have this thing worked out, you know, called money, this thing called money, but they don't. And I saw that as an opportunity to educate. And it turned out just educating my clients first, doctors, attorneys, physicians, the NFL players, hockey players, etc. And it just grew into this, you know, idea that we can do this and we can educate and help individuals to understand money and understand how to build wealth with the money that they're making.
Yep, no question about it. I think on my end, I did, as you said, Sandra took the corporate route. I grew up in LA, not the California LA, but lower Alabama, right? Down in the South. The Heart of Dixie is what they called it. And I grew up with three brothers, three sisters, mom and dad in a shotgun house. Mm-hmm. And so we grew up relatively poor, not a lot, but I never felt disadvantaged. But I said, life has got to be a little bit better than this financially. This is just a reflection of where we live. There wasn't much industry, not any high paying jobs. So, but there was a struggle financially. And I said, life has got to be a little bit better financially for most people. And it, money shouldn't be so complex. It shouldn't be so mysterious. And then when I met Sandra, she started talking about all of these financial principles and you don't have to have a lot of money or earn income to build wealth. So we had the financial discussion early on, and she talked about her goals of helping people and servicing others, because she saw the stress and depressed, and people felt oppressed and in a mess over and over again. And I related to that. And I felt, look, teach me first. Okay. Because I married up, Steve. I'm just going to tell you, I married up. Okay. Teach me first. And then we can formalize this thing and help others. And that's how we got started.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. My friends call that outpunning your coverage.
I love it. Well, your friends are right.
That's good. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but
I know. There are no guardrails in here. Look, the way we bring about results, real results, is that we have to keep it real. And that's why we've been successful for the last 23 years. We make it make sense.
Absolutely.
For people. And that's our claim to fame, and we're just proud to do it. So I'm glad to be here with you and your audience, which is amazing. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Now, the big question here is this. What's financial infidelity? Let's just start with that. The toll that it takes on relationships. Let's just start right there so people can understand the signs, what's going on. Because some people are just oblivious sometimes when they get into a relationship and they're like in love and everything else just kind of goes past. So what are those things?
Okay. So financial infidelity is a real thing. It's a real thing. It stems from a lot of different areas. But what we've seen, having done this for 23 years, in business for 23 years, is that a lot of it is just not knowing, and a lot of it is, you know, not communicating. A lot of it is not having a plan. So you're doing your thing. Your spouse is doing their thing. We want to keep things separate. We want to have our money that we want to spend without, you know, having to have a conversation about it. And it's on two tracks. So because your finances and your household are on two tracks, it leaves a lot of room for veering off and going in a ditch, right? And a lot of times that happens that way. And, you know, once the infidelity starts, like, you know, having credit cards that you're hiding, or in some cases, or some really awful cases where a spouse would actually take a loan out in the other spouse's name and not tell them. We see that a lot. And, you know, that goes on a lot because one person is not as engaged with the finances as well as the other.
There are definitely, Steve, different levels to financial infidelity. But in the end, it boils down to you not communicating. One of the top three reasons for divorce, as you know, in our country is financial stress. Stress due to financial decisions, and we don't talk to each other. You know, the whole idea is that I had my life before I met my boo, mm-hmm. and I was doing these things before my boo, and I want to keep doing those things. And sometimes, I guess, if I get pushback, then I might sneak and do some things and spend some money and get my own credit card that they don't know about. If I'm handling the finances in my household, right, then they don't see it anyway. So I'm going to do this. I may take out a loan and people don't know. And my spouse doesn't know. And so I'm doing things without communicating with my spouse. I can't tell you how many people we work with on a day-to-day basis And they have separate accounts, separate this, all the separate stuff going on. So how can we have a common goal when things aren't aligned with each other? And I should say that we have been married for 30 years, Steve. 30 years.
This year.
This year in August. Come on now. Give it to us.
Give it up.
Give it up. Because that's not normal. But 30 years married. 32 years knowing each other. 23 years in business. And so she knows every penny I spend. Now that,
you know, that's why she's the boss.
That's why she's the
But I'll say it's transparency is important.
Yes.
It is important. But
I agree.
Yes. And but this can't be one of you that does everything. It has to be both. And sometimes a spouse doesn't feel comfortable digging in and learning about finances. They're like, oh, I'll let him handle it. Oh, I'll let her handle it. That's not what you really should do. You should do it together. One may be stronger than the other, which is fine. But you're both involved in the process.
Yep. And let me say one more thing to that question. You got to know your place in the race, right? I wasn't as strong financially, Steve. Sandra was. You know, that's a little odd. So she really was the financial IQ in our family, the intellectual quotient. You know, forget the ego. She came up with a great plan. I'm talking to a banker here, Steve. Mm-hmm. And she guided us. She led us financially. And guess what? I listened because she put this plan together for us. And she said, look, if we do this, 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 we're going to have this. I said, shut up. You cannot mean that. And so you've got to learn to listen to each other. I'm talking to your audience out there. Mm-hmm. To make it work, transparency matters.
That's perfect. Hold on 1 second. I got to stop you right there because we have to go to break. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more of the Currys and here with Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that really says having a happy, healthy relationship with money. I do want to thank you for joining us today. The replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, if you'd like to go take a look at episodes, you can go to savingwithsteve.us. You can see the replays, guest gifts, the whole shot. You really want to check that out. So let's start talking to Sandra and Sydney here again. Let's start talking about how financial wellness plays a role in reducing the divorce rate. I know there's some statistics here and stuff like that. From my standpoint, and I'd like you to add on to this, as a person that helps people with their finances as well, I come across people when you're sitting down and talking about their numbers where some people just don't know what's going on. And we've talked about this already. And what I mean by just don't know what's going on, I mean, they don't know the numbers. They don't know the amounts. In fact, I've had people where the spouse doesn't even know what they spend on a monthly basis. You have one spouse that's handling finances, the other spouse, and sometimes it's the woman, sometimes it's the man, and they have no clue. They just go and spend because they know they've got money in the bank because that's the way it was when they were working. And now they're not working, but the same thing's happening. So let's talk about how that financial wellness plays a role when you get two people on the same track.
That's a really great question. You know, it's a very serious question as well. When you meet and you see all these love bells and Cupid's arrow and all the hearts flying around, it's nice, right? And you tell mom and dad, I found them. I found somebody. I love them. I love them. And then they say, well, bring them home, baby. Bring them home. And they come home and they introduce them. And, okay, when are you going to get married? And the parents start thinking about grandkids. And I'm going to be a grandparent. I think they found someone. And they tell all their friends. And next thing you know, fast forward, they're planning the wedding. And they're planning the honeymoon. You know what I'm saying, see? The honeymoon and the wedding and where we're going. And, oh, the first house. Oh, let's have our first kid. But not one time did anybody ask about the debt package. They didn't ask, well, what is your financial plan? Well, what are your values of money? You know, Sandra, my credit wasn't so bad, right? It was okay, but it wasn't great. And so she said, I'd like us to go out to dinner. I said, okay, sure. Like, I love going out to eat. Let's go. And she said, I want you to bring something and I'm going to bring something. I want you to go here because she was a financial guru, right? She said, go to Experian and pull your credit report and make sure you print it with a score. And I said, okay, that's weird. I mean, we're still courting, right?
He was just pulling you through the door, man.
You know, we're courting, right? Okay. So she brought hers and she said, well, this is fine. This is yours. And so let's exchange this. And I said, okay. You know, fast forward, we have been doing things like that continuously. We check our net worth on an annual basis. But just to go back to the story, she knew what my credit score was and we still got married.
I saw hope.
This month,
I saw a little hope.
Hope and a prayer.
This qualifier. I said, oh yeah. Man, I didn't know. You know?
Did you guys go to church and the reverend just had the hope and prayer sermon and you're like, okay.
Exactly. What are your financial values, right? So she saw. You've got to know before you do all this stuff, you don't learn this stuff about the values of who you are dating or who your mate is until it's sometimes too late. She started us off that way. If you started off that way, you're going to reduce the probability of divorce and parting due to finances. You have to talk to each other. You have to share with each other. You have to be open with each other. And my goodness, the first lesson of communicating is listening. You have to listen to each other and not talk past each other. And the last thing I'll say is reducing the divorce rate means, in the sense of money, that you're going to have a financial plan.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and that financial plan is extremely important because even, you know, again, we've been doing this for a long time, for a couple of decades over that. And the marriages that we have saved during that time all starts with a plan, a financial plan, because at that point, every financial decision that you make, which you guys agreed on, because you agreed on the plan. So every financial decision that you make comes back to the plan, working your plan. So it eliminates financial surprises, financial stress, financial pressures, you know, not only from your family, but pressures outside of the family, right? And it makes for a happier lifestyle or a happier household when it comes to finances, your own plan. You know why you're making these decisions or why you're not making that decision. And it creates financial harmony in the household.
Steve, I'm going to say one more thing.
Please.
Would you believe that we have family monthly budget committee meetings?
No.
We have meetings at work. So why don't we have meetings at home when it comes to our finances? So we put it on the calendar. It's not anything formal. We'll go to our dining room table. We'll do it in our master. When our kids were at home, we would do it anywhere in their rooms. We go out to the park. But every month we would put it on the calendar and we would meet about, you know, it could be about budgeting. It could be about debt reduction. It could be about investments. What investments do we want to get into? Is it AI? Is it this? But we literally meet and we tune out the noise. It is our meeting. It has nothing to do with my sister, my brother, my in-laws, my neighbors, my cousins, my coworkers. It's our business and we talk about it. We're transparent. We're open and we make results happen together.
Way back when, before my wife and I got married, as part of the pre-marriage counseling, they took us all away for a weekend. And part of that was just to work through the finances. Yeah. And it was really interesting, not just us, but the other people. In fact, there was a few people who finished that. And because of the finances, they weren't getting married. But it was just, but I thought to myself, what a good thing. What a good thing.
Yes.
And when you talk about the financial meetings, I mean, we've done that with our kids just so they can see how it's done. And, you know, both of them done well in college and they're now on their own and their primary focus is saving and investing. So they're not wasting it on stuff, which is really great and thankful for us because we don't want them back in the house.
The way that works, you got to downsize in one bedroom your house. You know, when the kids go, that way you childproof the house, right? That's why when you have one bedroom, they can't move back in, Steve. That's how
my wife goes, they got a week and then they got to go.
Come stay for a week.
That's right.
But you know, the add on to the family monthly budget committee meetings, the kids are a part of those meetings and the kids are empowered, elevated, uplifted, educated, and informed. These are salient points that I want your audience to really get. It's so important, like you incorporate them into the plan. And so many of us, like me, grew up saying, I want to live a better life than my mom and dad. And so I went off and joined the military after I dropped out of college and then later on finished college because my parents couldn't pay. So I want to make up for what I missed early on. And what does makeup mean? What does having a better life mean? Does that mean material possessions? Does that mean buying the cars my parents couldn't buy, the home that my parents couldn't purchase, the vacations? What is that? You know, it usually for most people end up being material possessions. Sandra said, look, you can't send all your money back home to your mom and dad. All right. You can't do it. I know you want to buy them the things that they didn't have. But there are different ways to do it. She also said, look, material possessions are one thing. How much is that going to be worth in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? So together, she said, if we're going to buy our kids the Nike shoes, then we're also going to balance that and buy them the Nike stock. It's a culture. So now we have balanced abundance. We have our wealth style and our lifestyle as a family. We committed to that during the family monthly budget committee meeting. So that's the culture in our house. Our kids, nope, you're not going to get all of this stuff from Amazon without owning Amazon stock. So we stuff our stockings during Christmas with stocks. So it's a culture beginning with mom and dad or your significant other, your partner. You spread that down to your kids. And that's how this thing works.
That's wonderful. We didn't go that far, but what we did is we made our kids buy their own stuff. So they had to get the job. They had to save. They both, you know, my son has a love for gaming. And I mean, he spent a lot of time at that gaming store, but didn't buy a lot of stuff. And that eliminated mom and dad, please buy us this. But now that makes a big difference because he's actually saved three times as much as many of his friends. And they're still struggling because they're trying to keep up with people who make a little bit more with the cars and stuff like that. They're beginning to realize it's more about the quality of their life as opposed to the possessions, as we all learn.
You know, bringing it back to, you know, the divorce rates and being on the same page, it's extremely important to do that. What we tell people is, you know, you have a household, but that household must be run like a business. You're the CEOs of that business. You have money coming in. Those are your sales. And you want to run a business that is for profit. I mean, you're running an actual business. It may not seem like that because it's your household, but you are. So every single dime, every single quarter, nickel, penny, dollar that comes through the front door, you have to decide as the CEO or co-CEOs, if you have a partner or spouse, where that money goes. It can only go two places, into two places, your lifestyle or your wealth style. There's no other place for it to go. So you're going to put it in your lifestyle. That's your house. That's your car. That's your vacations, all this stuff, your cell phones, computers, all of that. And then your wealth style, which most people neglect. And that's your workplace retirement account, whether it's 401 or 403B or TSP, et cetera. Your emergency funds. The emergency fund is the glue that holds it all together, your whole financial picture together, is the emergency fund, or your savings for your kids, 529 plans, et cetera. Most people ignore that part of it, and they just overfund their wealth style. As a CEO, you have to sit down, or CEOs have to sit down together and decide where, be very intentional and be very purposeful about every single penny that comes through your front door.
Hey folks, stick with us. We're gonna be right back with more Sydney and Sandra.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the Saving with Steve Show. This has been wonderful with Sydney and Sandra Curry. We're going to be talking a little bit more. Right now, we're going to be talking about the conversations and how to have that conversation with your to-be spouse. You might have been married for a few years. You might have been married for 5 years, 10 years, 15, and 20. How do we have that conversation? What are the things that we should both be bringing to the table? And how do we have that discussion? Because I think this is so very, very key to have a fruitful, beneficial relationship about money, about life, and it just makes things go smoother. I've seen it many times where one person's just worried and the other person is oblivious and they're happy and there's an imbalance there. But if everybody's on the same page, it makes life easier. So Sydney, Sandra, I would love for you to share with that for our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Okay. You know, conversations start with observation. Conversation, always observe what that this is for the couples who are dating. You see tendencies, right? In what someone values. There's just no question about it. If we were able to walk around, Steve, with a fiscal meter on our foreheads, if you will, and suddenly you see that thing in red and it's in the negative, you know that person is deeply in debt, right? And so, you know, you see all the flashy stuff, right? You see the cars, you see the jewelry, you see them eating out, you see them posting on Instagram and making all these trips. But the average family in America, the average person is living paycheck to paycheck. 8 out of every 10 people you know, regardless of their jobs, regardless of how much money they make, regardless of the letters in front or behind their names, are living paycheck to paycheck. And you can observe a lot by watching how someone has a relationship with money. Are they spending a lot and spending a lot? What do they value? You know, if I'm whipping out the credit card to take a trip, okay, maybe you pay it off every month, but let's pay attention to those things. You know, we can tell a lot by what people do, because at the end of the day, if I'm living paycheck to paycheck, that means I don't effectively, first of all, lost my financial independence. So you can tell if they're just using them, whipping out the credit cards. How many credit cards do they have? You know, if they're whipping out the red one, the blue one, the green one, the pink one, the orange one, the yellow one. I'm like, okay, that's a lot of credit cards. So you can tell a lot of things like that. Do they ever talk about savings? So you want to introduce those things to the conversation, but first you observe. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, the conversation, you know, it depends on the person, but it has to be a conversation that is welcoming and not one that's kind of stringent. You know, you don't want to feel like, you know, with our family monthly budget committee meetings, it feels like you walk in the green mile. You know, you don't want to do that. You want it to be very relaxed and, you know, have the mindset that this is something that's going to be productive. So with that, you know, if you are the strong one, don't be as strong. Just let the other person talk. Let the other person let you know how they feel. I put people in a couple of categories. One, you may be a YOLO, all caps YOLO. You only live once. So I'm going to spend everything I have. Or you may be a FOMO, all caps FOMO. The fear of missing out, the fear of missing out of, you know, building wealth and having all these things in life. So, you know, which one are you? Are you a planner? Are you a spender? So you ask these questions. I mean, we have a series of questions that we ask individuals, couples, to just kind of get them talking and get the conversation going. But no egos there. Then you have to check that at the door and let's have a real conversation. So the first question that we think they should talk about is, no matter where you are in your relationship, it's, when do we want to retire? Let's talk about that first. What is our runway here? You know, with all this money we're going to make as CEOs of our business, you know, how much do we put in lifestyle? How much do we put in wealth style to have what we need to retire when we are X age or whatever the case may be? And that helps you set the plan. That helps you set your goals, knowing where you are wanting to end up. Right. So that guides, again, it guides all of your financial decisions from today into that time. So what do we want to do? Do we want to buy a house? Do we want to buy a house by the lake? Do we want to travel around the world? And you start getting excited and you're like, man, can we do this? Yes, you can. Something else that we tell particularly newer couples or newly married couples, Steve, is that most of them, you know, as we said before, you know, they want to get married. And once they get married, you know, they buy the house, they start the family and all of that. So we always tell people, and they use both incomes to do that. You know, why not just live off of one person's income, stay in that apartment for, say, 2 or 3 years, invest the other person's salary for 3 years, all of it. And then you set yourself up just an absolutely wonderful financial future if you do it that way, instead of just doing it the normal way that everybody talks about, where you get married, you buy the house with two incomes. You know, we always say, if it takes two incomes to buy that house, it's too much house. It's too much house. You've got to back it down. But we want to buy the house, right? And we want to have this wonderful lifestyle. So you just have to keep things in perspective and control and ask those questions.
Sandra is exactly right. You cannot dictate. You got to educate. So if you come in there and just fussing and talking past each other and not listening and so on and so forth, it is so important that you recognize you're going to lose that person. You're literally going to lose them and you're not going to accomplish anything. And you're sitting there, the kids are at this meeting. You know, no one wants to come because there's going to be an argument. So let's meet them where they are. And Sandra's right. She said, what do you want to do? What's your North Star? We move beyond the material thing, Steve. What is our North Star? Where do we want to be? And by the way, for all of your listeners, when we use the word retire, that means, when do you build enough wealth? When do you build enough wealth? And for me to hear the word wealth, introducing that into the conversation, and she said, okay, if you take this amount of money and you put it in some sort of S&P 500, some sort of investment vehicle, and just let it ride, don't borrow against it. Look at where we're going to be. So you ask them what their value sets are. What is your financial North Star? And when she said that to me, and then we went to this calculator, we put in how much we're going to be investing. Never touching that, right? A lot of people experience abundance with attachment, meaning debt. If I make $50,000 a year and I'm living paycheck to paycheck, then I have zero. I have zero money in the end. Okay. So what happens is people living paycheck to paycheck, they will borrow money, let's say a $4,000 credit card. So now their spending level is at $54,000, income $50,000, and it's debt. Okay. And then they give themselves another $4,000 raise by way of debt. Mm-hmm. So now your spending is up to $58,000, but your income is still $50,000. Then I take out the home equity line of credit, you know, and so that's $20,000. So now I'm up in the 70 something thousand dollars spending, but my income is just $52,000. So ask them what their value sets are. If you're going to achieve abundance with attachment through debt, then that's not the right path. But you cannot dictate this information. You have to educate, and then you build your plan together. And that's the last thing I would say to this point.
Before you go on, I've got to ask this.
Okay.
One of the big questions for our listeners, it's how do you get somebody to change their spending habits?
Oh, what a question. What a question, Steve. You know, I love it. You're getting right to the meat. So it's habitual and it's practice. Remember, this whole thing, 80% of our spend is emotional. 20% is business. 80% is emotional. So understanding that this is emotional, this is an emotional decision, then you have to establish the business part of making this happen by meeting people where they are. So with behavioral economics, you have to have a plan and you have to put it on paper and you have to make it make sense. Just talking about it without writing it down and having a roadmap that you can follow and see it through. Think about it. As human, when we have a target, we perform better. When we go to high school, we know what classes we have to take in order to achieve graduation. When we go to college, we have to have a certain amount of hours. Why do we undervalue our money? So write it down, have a plan, and that creates accountability, which lessens the emotional value to it. So if you have a plan, you can change habits. Then you drill it down to a day-to-day spend, how we're spending our money. So you have that goal you're trying to achieve, mm-hmm. and you take daily steps, step by step. No one stands at the bottom of stairs and jump to the very top. You take a step by step. If that means getting out of debt, we're going to pay off one debt at a time. And we're going to do it that way and make the minimum payment on everything else. If it's improving my credit score, then we're going to pay off one debt at a time and watch. And so it boils down to habits, Steve. Habits.
I know you guys, you work with organizations, government entities, nonprofits, you work with college and universities. We have a number of listeners that actually are part of organizations like that. And they're saying we could use somebody to come in like that provides your services. So help us understand what type of services you provide, how people go about getting in contact with you, where they so they can refer you to their employer, their organization, and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Steve. I really appreciate that question. We are a non-fiduciary, 100% educational firm. We don't sell to individuals. We only have contractual relationships with academia, colleges and universities, businesses, training organizations, and the government. And employees literally spend 3 hours a week at month, those that are financially distressed, trying to figure out how to make ends meet. You can quantitate that and show how much time is lost at the workplace because of financial stress. So we come in, we solve those problems. If you're an employer, all you have to do is see how many people are borrowing against their 401k, their 403b, their 457, their TSP. How many people are not meeting the match? Free money. If I go out here and I line up with dollars, people are going to come. And I'm just giving them away, people are going to come. But they're not lining up to take the free money from the match. Why? There's a lack of understanding. So we educate folk. We make them more productive. We make them much more performance driven. We lead them towards being personnel ready, mission ready, by coming in doing live training sessions. We have a robust online training program. It's so robust, and people can walk through that program on their own in the comfort of their homes. They don't have to leave their workstations. That's for employees. It really improves your bottom line. For students, people drop out because of money. They borrow the max because of financial issues at home. We lower those numbers. We improve default rates at colleges and universities with our online program, with our on-site program, with our virtual program, with our personal financial coaches, and so on. We're easily accessible. You can reach us at 615-826-7861. You can look up BC Holdings of Tennessee, and we're right there. BC Holdings, B as in boy, C as in Charlie, Holdings with an S of Tennessee. And we are happy to talk with any of your listeners out there about changing lives, because that's what people say to us when we come.
Absolutely.
We're changing lives.
And be one of the millionaires that we have made over the last 23 years.
It is obtainable.
It is.
It's obtainable. I'm just so shocked, Steve, that every day I wake up, we're so blessed. When I look at my net worth, I'm like, are you serious? I'm this poor kid from Troy, and you telling me this is possible? Yes, I married up. But having a plan, a financial plan, makes wealth achievable in America, because America is the land of abundance. The problem is, the last thing I'll say, our economic system is like a chessboard. We don't know the names of the pieces on the chessboard, nor do we know the powers that each of those pieces possess. And so the bottom line is, we demystify money. We keep marriages together. We make companies more productive. We improve graduation rates at colleges and universities, and we make families happy, moving them away from intergenerational dependency, intergenerational poverty, and towards intergenerational wealth. Let's go.
I love what you're doing to serve the community. I think that's wonderful. Sandra, thank you for being here. Sydney, thank you for being here. And I'd like to have you come back, because this has been a lot of fun. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Wasn't Sandra and Sydney just wonderful? That's just great information. It's going to make a difference in your life. Right now, I want to talk to you about something that's going to make a difference in everybody's life. There's a lot of scams that are going out. They affect many, many millions of people all over the world, and they take billions of dollars. And I just want to share two that are occurring right now that you need to know about. And I want to say this straight out front. The big thing is, the government's not calling you. The BBB and many other organizations that track scams, they receive reports from scammers impersonating government law enforcement agencies, tricking consumers into giving up personal information and money with threatening messages. Missed jury duty scam. Okay, it's interesting. It's a long-running scam. Someone contacts you via phone call or text, claiming to be from the local law enforcement or judicial agency, and it tells you you missed jury duty and could be arrested. The scammer may even send a fake jury summons to your email to convince you. They say you can avoid arrest by paying a very hefty fine, sometimes up to thousands of dollars. And of course, the fine and the jury summons were never real. Okay. Folks, if anybody's doing something like that, that's not what the court does. They've never called you, reach out to you. They're going to send you a public document if there's an issue. Next, there's a process server phishing scam. This scam also starts with an intimidating phone call or text from a debt collector who needs you to pay immediately. If not, the scammer states the police officer has a warrant for your arrest. Well, you know what? With credit or a debt, you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get a warrant for your arrest. It's going to go to court. You might go bankrupt. It's going to be a debt. They find a lien. That's about it. The big thing is this. If you get that call, just hang up or get their information and call the police. The big thing here is be wary of these scare tactics and the unsolicited phone calls. The scammers just love to threaten people with legal action or hefty fines and scare them to giving up their personal information and money. Big thing here is do your research. If you ever question whether you need to appear in court, call the appropriate judicial agency and ask. If you receive an email with a fake jury summons, don't call the number on the email. They will likely lead you to a scammer that sent the email. If you receive a call, remember the scammer may be able to spoof a legitimate agency's phone number. To be safe, look up on an official website, find the phone number, call it, find out if you have a jury summons, find out if you didn't pay your bill. Beware a request to pay via wire transfer, prepaid debit or gift card or digital wallet apps, or even cryptocurrencies. These payment methods are almost always a sign of fraud because they won't be able to get your money back. So folks, any of those methods, it's no good. There's another thing. You have the IRS thing. You know what? Quite frankly, with the IRS, it's very interesting. The IRS never calls you. They don't send emails. They just send you a letter and you've got to call them. They know what's going on. They just don't do that. One other thing, small business owners. There's a fake patent and trademark renewal emails are targeting business owners. This is an email phishing scam, and it's nothing new, but scammers are getting more creative when targeting business owners. They fake emails about patents or trademark renewals or landing in email boxes of small business owners. In fact, some are actually sending letters to you, because I receive these. These are urgent emails pressuring business owners to act now and use email sender business service to resolve a matter for a hefty potential fine or lawsuit. Okay, how this works? You receive an urgent email stating your business or nonprofit and that the trademark is not properly trademarked. And in fact, you told another organization is currently trying to register using the organization's name. The email claims if you don't respond within 24 hours, you will forfeit your legal right to your organization or brand. The email stated it doesn't act now. Here's the big thing. They're going to threaten a lawsuit up to $750,000, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day is this. You just need to do your research. Think about what's going on. Go and take a look. Go call the trademark office or search it online for the trademark office to see what's there. It's the USPTO. United States Patent and Trademark Office. Go take a look. These scams are costing people billions of dollars. You might think, oh, hey, it costs that guy $500. But that's the $500 he needed to pay for food for his family. Or $10,000, which pushed somebody out of business. So folks, do your research. Make sure you don't get caught up in these. They're basically impersonation scams. What I'd recommend you do is you call the local police and let them know about it. Get the phone number. See if they can set up a sting to catch them. Okay? You want to make sure yourself is taken care of. That's the biggest thing you want to do. Now, folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. This is all about making sure you get the most out of your money. I really want to thank you for sharing it with your friends and families. Again, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe again to YouTube channel to never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, and all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems and live your spirits and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, you can always follow us at Saving with Steve Sexton on Facebook or go to savingwithsteve.us. You get all the replays, guest tips, the whole shot. Sydney and Sandra Currier were wonderful. Look forward to seeing you next week. Stay safe and stay healthy, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.